Welcome to DOM Management Inside Podcast. Today we talk to Jim Crone, Manager Airship Maintenance for the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. Jim joins us today to discuss his maintenance career, which started with joining the Navy and signing up to be an aircraft engine mechanic. When Jim finished with the military, he went to Spartan School of Aeronautics and obtained his A&P. He received a call one day from a recruiter who asked him about working for Goodyear, and he understood that to be a position at a tire store. Jim declined, but was told immediately that this wasn't a job for a tire store, but for the Goodyear blimp. More than 30 years later, Jim is now in charge of airship maintenance for Goodyear's three airships located at various facilities around the country. Jim is based at the Wingfoot Lake Airship Center near Akron, Ohio, which is where Joe Escobar and myself joined Jim to discuss his long and unique career in aviation maintenance.
What's your official title here at the company?
So my name is Jim Crone. I am the manager of airship maintenance for Goodyear's three airships.
So Jim, I guess first off the bat, I kind of heard your story a little bit when we were at the NBAA maintenance conference and you spoke there, but I'd like to start off. How did you get into aviation?
My aviation career started when I joined the Navy. I came out of high school and I knew I wasn't going to go to college. And so like a lot of young people, you're looking for direction. So I went down and spoke with the Navy recruiter, and next thing you know, I'm signed up as an aircraft engine mechanic. I had no idea. I've never flown an aircraft before until I went to boot camp, and away I went and went through the training and just found out that I really enjoyed working as an aircraft engine mechanic. I thought it was awesome. And to be a young man, 20 years old, working on a multi-million dollar aircraft, you're standing there thinking, wow, I wonder how many other people get to do this, you know? And so that led to further understanding and knowing what's on the other side of aviation when you come out of the military. And I had some people that I was close with, and they said, well, you know, if you really want to get into aviation in the civilian world, you need to go to school and get an airframe and power plant certificate. So I ended up leaving the Navy, and I went to Spartan School of Aeronautics, and I spent a couple of years at Spartan working on my A&P and finished my A&P. At the same time, I was working at the airport there at Tulsa International. I was a line person handling aircraft, and we had a military contract. We'd handle transit military aircraft, fuel them, take care of them. We would handle business jets and corporate jets and small airplanes. And I had received my certificate, and I was just actively starting to look for a job in, as an aircraft mechanic in aviation. And just one day, I got a call out of the blue, and a gentleman called and said, hey, you know, my name is, he gave me his name, John Moran. He said he was with the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, and he had my resume, and he wanted to speak to me about a job. And I'm like, have my resume? How did you get my resume? And he goes, well, we called the school and they sent it to us. I said, oh, okay. And he says, like I said, I'm with Goodyear and I have an open position. I said, I appreciate the call, sir. I said, but I went to school to be an aircraft mechanic, and I don't really want to work in a tire store. Please don't take offense to that. And he goes, this isn't the tire store. This is the Goodyear blimp. And then that's when the lights went off. I'm like, oh, the Goodyear blimp. And so I traveled to Dallas, Texas on New Year's Day, 1991, and I met with them. They were covering the Cotton Bowl, and I did an interview with the chief pilot, the chief mechanic, the other senior mechanic at that time. And the airship was based in Houston. And, they, you know, if you get the job, you move to Houston, Texas, and all of that. So I came back, and a few days later, they called and offered me the position. And I joined Goodyear as an airship junior mechanic. And I moved to Houston, Texas. And what an experience. I mean, to show up and to come into this part of aviation that not a lot of people get to see and understand. And it's, you know, everything they taught me in school was great, but when you get here, it's a whole level of different education and understanding and just how the airship operates and how it works and how the team functions around the airship, how we move the airship, fly the airship, maintain the airship. So it's been quite an education. And over the years, I've progressed. A couple of years later, I moved in as a senior airship mechanic. And then 1998, I took over. I went and obtained my inspector authorization, and I took over as chief mechanic for the operation here in Akron. 2002, airship operations, Goodyear, we started our repair station in 2002, and I transferred into the repair station in the back shop, and I was overhauling and repairing parts and fixing parts, and we were refurbishing airships and rebuilding airships, so I had a lot of experience integrated with airships. And in about 2007, the position opened up for team leader of the repair station. I took that position, a few years later, I was promoted to chief of maintenance. And then just recently, about 4 years or 5 years ago, I was promoted to manager of airship maintenance. So. Wow.
So do you spend a lot of your time looking at the big picture now, not necessarily turning wrenches all the time?
I do. I spend a lot of time working with our management team, our leadership team here, planning and coordinating our maintenance, working with my team, my leadership team, to make sure that we have the right pieces in place, pieces and parts in place, the right personnel, to make sure our maintenance is planned accordingly, we can execute it correctly, we do everything safely and airworthy. And it's a lot of coordination and planning from our side. Yes, I don't spend a whole lot of time on the floor working with the mechanics. That's for sure. I do miss that part of the job, though.
No, but as a mechanic, and Greg and I both know this from personal experience, but you're typically a good mechanic, and that's why you get promoted to mm-hmm. the lead position, and eventually maybe the manager of maintenance. Was it hard making that transition from working on the airships to now you're managing the department?
Yes, it was a little bit of a transition for me. And because like you said, this is what you've built your reputation, you built your career on being a good mechanic. And now you're moving into a management or a leadership position. And there's really not a blueprint for that, And what you have is a good background technically and your capability, but you're moving into a whole different role. Now you're leading people and you're managing budgets and you're planning and you're coordinating activities and working with leadership teams. And it becomes a bigger challenge, I think. So for me personally, it took a few years for me to understand that this is how you do it and you grow. I was really fortunate to have some really good mentors along the way, people that would spend the time, and maybe they didn't fully understand aviation, but they understood leadership, they understood business, and they would mentor and teach me, and I could ask questions and they would help me with those things and provide me the benefit of their knowledge. So I think coupled with that, plus my aviation background, I've been very fortunate to be able to make that transition. But yes, in the beginning, it was a challenge.
There's obviously some unique challenges here too. I mean, you've got your three operations mm-hmm. located in, faraway lands here. so managing those operations from afar, making sure there's some consistency between the three of them. What kind of programs do you like, from a safety standpoint, do you have in place to make sure that you guys are all doing things similarly?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very good question. One of the things that we just achieved was our ISBAO Stage 2 authorization. So we just received that. So we have an FOM in place that we use, that we follow, that provides guidelines for the entire operation, maintenance, flight operations, ground support, all of those different operations. But in particular, when it comes to maintenance, we have processes in place. So we have a quality manual that we follow that's in our system. So our work orders, all everything is structured the same. How we complete our work orders, how we complete our sign-offs, how we do all of that is the same. We have all of our maintenance manuals and our technical pubs, and we follow those publications and manuals to make sure we're doing everything the same. We also have a procedures manual, and we've created this manual to help standardize what we do within our maintenance organization. And we use an electronic-based system, FlightDocs, for all of our maintenance recording, for all of our TBO and SLL tracking, for all of our work order tracking, for all of our non-routines, our inventory. Everything is in that system, so everybody has to function within that system, and there's restrictions within that system and limitations, so it drives everybody to do the same thing. So from that standpoint, we're pushing everybody to do and operate the same out of all three locations. We do have different locations, and I would say in those locations, the biggest challenge or the differences would be the environment, the weather conditions, those type of things that we can't control.
Are they FAA repair stations?
Yes. So here in Akron, we're an FAA repair station. We have the D-100. Mm-hmm. So all of our outside locations, California, Florida, and Ohio, are considered mobile repair stations. So they operate under the D-100, mm-hmm. and that allows us to have that same authority, repair station authority out in the field.
Yeah, and not only mobile in California or Florida, but they're following the ships around
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in our semi trucks or our trailers that we have, or consider the mobile repair station, they're fully stocked with all of our tools. So we have company supplied tools. Everything is controlled through inventory control systems, checklists. All of our parts that we need to support the airship are inside the truck. So the truck is fully capable of, we're able to go on the road and sustain the airship for an extensive period of time and do the maintenance and keep the airship operational.
So tell us a little bit about the locations. Of course, we're here in Akron right now, but you have one airship based in Florida and one in California?
Mm-hmm. So we have an airship based in Pompano Beach, Florida, and it's about 3 miles from the ocean, I guess. And we have a hangar there. It's a very nice location. The biggest it's really nice. We're able to perform all of the maintenance functions in Florida that we can perform here for our phase inspections and our non-routine. So we can do that work in Pompano Beach. So we can suspend the airship, take the helium out, do all of that work there. We can do our other phase inspections in the hangar there in Pompano Beach. In California, we do not have a hangar at our facility. Now, we have the ability to lease a hangar in Orange County. Tustin is an old naval base, and they're wooden structure hangars, and we're able to do some maintenance in there. We can do our engine phases and our passenger gondola phase, but we can't do the big phase where you suspend the airship and take the helium out because we can't hang anything from the hangar because it's a wooden structure.
Okay. So that is that part of the phase that's done every year.
Yes. It's and basically it's an annual inspection. And we basically went to the FAA here in Cleveland and we said, hey, we want to create a phase inspection. And what that does is a couple of things. A typical annual is 8 to 10 weeks long, depending on what's happening in that time frame. And that's a long time to keep the airship out of operation. So we take that inspection and we break it up into 5 sections. So now we can put those phases into the downtimes when we're not heavily scheduled to fly and do that maintenance and have the airship operational. So when we roll into August, by mid-August, we're done with all the heavy maintenance and we're able to fly throughout the fall and into the winter because that's when we do a lot of our aerial coverage with football and college football and different things like that.
Okay. Is this considered a Part 91 operation?
It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Our airship is part, we are a Part 91 operation. The repair station is a 145 operation.
Maybe for the benefit of our listeners, you say 8 to 10 weeks for an annual inspection, and you know, before I came here, I was thinking it's just a balloon with a with a motor underneath. How can that take 8 to 10 weeks? But maybe describe a little bit about the construction of the dirigible and
sure.
And how many engines are mm-hmm. on it, and you've got a full avionics suite on there. Yeah. That in Garmin helicopter package and some very unique stuff as well that you just can't go to the AVL store and buy parts for.
Yeah, I would say that 95% of all of our parts come from Zeppelin. So they're all come from Zeppelin. It is unique to the airship. The airship is unique in itself. Now, we have standard parts like the Lycoming IO360, and it's a great engine. It's a great product. But we take that engine and we put all different kinds of actuators and sensors on it to allow us to control the engine from inside the cockpit through fly-by-wire. And so that allows us to have a remote control of the engine, basically monitor all the different systems. We have overspeed protection.
And the engine is actually, you can rotate the engine on a shaft.
Not the engine. The engine is, the gearbox and propeller are remote mounted from the engine. So the propeller and the gearbox swivel up and down. The engine stays stationary.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So going back to the inspections and going back to some of the maintenance, and the construction of the airship, we call this a hybrid or a semi-rigid structure or semi-rigid airship. Inside the airship, we have a structure. So we have 3 longerons, and between that, we have 13 frame members, or we call 6 and 6B. We don't have 13. It's 1 through 12, but there's a 6 and a 6B. So these triangles inside actually provide support for the envelope and for the structure to keep it apart. The longerons are aluminum, hybrid aluminum, and welded structure, tube structure. And then all the triangles, or we call them they're composite pieces, basically carbon fiber. So there's a lot of carbon fiber inside the airship. It's light, it's strong, it works well in certain loading conditions. In forward of the airship, about mid-range over the passenger gondola, we have struts that come down that attach the passenger gondola in the rear and in the front that hold the passenger gondola to the structure inside. There's a we call it a dog bone, but it's a long rectangle piece that goes from one side of the airship to the other side, and that supports the side engines, has the fuel tanks and the fuel system in that component. In the back of the airship, we have, we call them stars. There's two big composite star structures that actually allow us to mount the control surfaces to. So we can put the control surface on top so they're hard mounted to the structure itself.
Which would be like the elevator and the rudder components.
Exactly. So when we do our maintenance inside, there's a lot of activity happening. So this maintenance that we're doing on the California ship right now, this is the phase one inspection. And this phase one's stretched out a little bit longer. Typically, this is about a five-week job, but we're stretching it out to about 6.5 because we're doing an alteration to the airship where we're putting in a new ignition system. And so we're putting that in, so we're making some changes to put that in. And at the same time, we go inside, we take all the helium out of the airship. We suspend the airship from the hangar when it comes in. It's kind of like jacking up your car, only we do it from the ceiling. We raise up the airship, and then we take all the helium out, and we take the helium and we put it into big bags, and we take that helium and we clean it, compress it, and put it into a tube trailer so we can save it for later. And then from there, basically what we're doing is we go inside the airship and we put a catwalk in. And basically what that allows us to do is to be able to climb on top of the airship and look at the upper longeron of the airship. So when we go inside the airship, we have to put rope assemblies up. And these rope assemblies allow us to be able to climb. It's kind of like mountain climbing. So we have climbing assisting equipment that you step in and you kind of pull yourself up and you kind of work your way up and you get to the top and you pull up the catwalk and stretch it out and suspend it. Now when you go up and down, you can walk across the catwalk and you can do all your visual inspections. Same thing on the side. We inspect all the side longeron. So the guys will walk and walk along the side of the airship looking at the longerons. The guys also walk on top of the longerons too, so we walk on top of the longerons. We also inspect the envelope fabric, so we'll spend a week inspecting all of the internal envelope fabric and the ballonets. And so we do that typically at nighttime. We have a team that comes in, they'll inflate the ballonets, and we'll go through with lights, and we look for any kind of abrasions or chafing or any kind of pinholes, and we patch all of that stuff to make sure that we're keeping the airship, allow us to keep the helium as pure as we can and not pass air through into the helium side. So there's a lot of work that goes in just to that inspection. And then the other inspections are around the engines. They're about a week long. So the left-hand engine has a one-week inspection. The right engine has a one-week inspection, and the aft has a one-week inspection. Same thing with the passenger gondola. It has a one-week inspection. All in total, five-phase inspections, and that equates to a full annual inspection throughout the year.
Wow. So this five-week phase is the longest one.
Yes.
Out of all the other phases.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So and the reason, and like again, I go back, the reason we did that is it allows maximum flexibility for the airship. So we can operate and still make our commitments and still meet all the requirements for our inspections. So all of our inspections are approved through the local FISDO office here in Cleveland. We wrote the phase inspections and went through them, and they approved them all, and that's what we follow.
Now, when we were taking the tour just a little bit earlier, we just realized how extensive it is to take this airship on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just fly to a destination and stay overnight and fly back. You're taking a huge support team.
Yeah.
Your mm-hmm. pilots are going. Your mechanics are going. Spare parts and these hoists that allow you to park in the airship.
Yeah, it's really neat to see, but yes, it's about a 20-person crew, and we're looking at about 7 vehicles going down the road. We have mast trucks that hold the airship, so when we're at the airport, we can moor the airship at nighttime, keep it secure. Mm-hmm. It allows the airship to float around and blow into the wind and still holds the airship in place. We bring a big support semi-truck that has all of our parts and pieces and everything we need. Our camera operators, our own camera, our technicians come. They bring all the camera equipment, all the equipment for the receive site, wherever that's at. Ground crewmen come because they help stand watch on the airship. They help with a lot of the general duties. A crew chief and an assistant crew chief. A crew chief orchestrates everything. He He's the one that writes the schedule and keeps everybody moving in the right places. And all my crew chiefs, I work with them, and we're very close because we have to coordinate together. It's a big plan, and it takes a lot of coordination. It's a huge team effort, and everybody has an important role to play. So whether you're a mechanic, a pilot, a technician, a crewman, a crew chief, everybody has an important role to play. We have to drive trucks. We have to drive vehicles. We have to, you know, book hotel rooms. We have to, you know, make sure the airport's okay, that we can come there and park the airship there at the airport, because it's a big swing. It's a 500 circle that we need to park that airship. So, and the airship moves around. So all those things have to be coordinated. You know, do we have all of the parts and pieces we need to keep the airship operational while we're in the field? Do I have enough personnel? So it's a lot to it.
Yeah, and any little thing, like, say, on an aircraft, working on an engine, you're an engine guy, but working on an engine is challenging enough, much less working on an engine in the field when this airship is moving around.
Yeah, I tell people this, you know, it's you know, they think, well, you're just working on a Lycoming IO-360, and to some degree, yes, but the challenge we have is the engines are about 25, 30 feet in the air. So when you're outside, you have to access those engines. And the only way we can do that is we have special scaffolding that we put out, and we actually hoist it up with block and tackles. And then we have a rope ladder that the guys climb up and down the rope ladder to work on the airship. Now you're tied off. You have to wear a harness when you're up there. You're tied into the engine. And so there's challenges with that. You know, we are very good at overcoming those challenges, but those are things that some people, you know, they don't think about when you go out to work on the airship, you know. Until you actually see it, you're like, oh, okay.
Now, do I understand that when you are traveling, there is always somebody with the airship monitoring the helium?
Yes.
Keeping an eye on the airship?
Absolutely, yes. Anytime the airship has helium and it's operational, there's somebody with it 24 hours a day. Whether it's inside or outside, we're always watching the airship. So we watch the pressure. We watch any kind of temperature changes. If we're outside, we want to watch the weather, because if we have some thunderstorms come through, pop-up storms, whatever that may be, we have to set certain pressures in the airship. We have to configure the airship a certain way with enough ballast and those type of things to be able to withstand all those type of weather events. Now, we typically don't fly in the snow. Airships and snow don't mix. So we're, you know, here in Akron, when we do fly, we're very select when we fly in the wintertime. You know, the weather has to be clear and nice and before we go out and fly. It can be cold, but it just has to be nice and clear for us to go out and fly.
Okay. So what do you look for in a mechanic? Because this is, I mean, you have mechanics that work in corporate aviation. That's not necessarily a 9-to-5 job, and they understand that. I think this kind of takes it to the next level. What kind of... What do you look for in new hires and new mechanics?
That's a really good question. I can tell you that whenever I start interviewing, or when we're looking to hire somebody, the biggest thing is attitude. If you come to work, if you come here and you have a good attitude, you are engaging, you can make eye contact, and you want to do the job, I think that's really important. There's a lot of facets to this job. Like you said, we don't work a standard shift. We're working weekends. We're working nights. We're working in the middle of the night. You know, we're traveling on the road. So there's a lot of things about the job. And so when you have that person that you can see, when you explain those things to this person and they still are energized and they want to do the job, that's great. Technical capability is fantastic. We want people with technical capability, but, you know, we can teach the airship, you know, having a good attitude and wanting to do the job are two things that, you know, that are required.
Well, one of the things that impressed me, we got a tour, of course, it was from one of the pilots, but I was, you know, asking, it just dawned on me as he's touring us around, and that is that, you know, and it seems like everybody, you know, on the team at Goodyear is in the same position, which is, you know, you guys are PR machine for the company and so forth. And so you're interacting with the public all the time. And, you know, whether you're on the road or not or whatever, if you stop at EAA and you're out there working on something, you got somebody gawking at you, you know, while you're maintaining the engine. So I think the ability to interact with the public is
huge.
Also a huge benefit.
Yeah, communication skills are really important. And you know, to your point, we do. And people, you know, we sometimes we move into a little town where we're staying overnight, and people will come to the airport and they'll see the airship, and we'll go up and we'll engage with the folks. We'll hand out brochures. We'll talk to them. We interact with them, because it's something we want to share with the public. We want to share what we do, what we're about. And at the same time, you know, we want to be able to engage and take in questions and things like that. So part of that is part of the job. So when we hire people too, we also look at their, you know, look at that and say, okay, well, this is somebody that, you know, may have to, you know, speak to folks and that kind of thing. So those are important factors too. You know, we do provide coaching and training for those things too.
Yeah. Mm. It seems like this is one of the jobs where experience really doesn't matter, because you can't say, oh, we're looking for somebody with 10 years of blimp maintenance experience, because really, how many are there?
You know? There's very little people that apply for the job that have blimp experience. Now, aviation experience transcends, absolutely. Right. We do look at that, and we do say, okay, you've been in the aviation world, you've worked on aircraft, and there's a lot of similarities between the airship and normal aircraft, absolutely. But the uniqueness of the airship, usually when I bring somebody here and I tell people, you can come here with experience, you can come here with 10, 12 years experience, but it takes you usually about 4 to 5 years before you really become comfortable with the airship, before you see all the things about the airship, because there's a lot to learn. And so it takes time to learn those things. So it usually takes a person about 4 to 5 years before they fully become comfortable, a mechanic becomes comfortable, before they feel like they really have a good handle on what's going on.
Okay.
And all of that is typically self-taught. We teach all of our mechanics. We work with them and help them.
You know. So how many years have you been here now?
32 years.
32. Wow.
Yeah.
My understanding is Goodyear's coming up on its 100th anniversary.
It is in 2025, yes. Yeah. Or for our airships, yes. And we are excited about that. That's an opportunity for us to even share more what we do with the public and to be able to open our doors a little bit and get people a look-see into what we do and celebrate with our fans. So we're looking forward to that 2025 mark.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to somebody that is just starting off as a mechanic for a successful career in aircraft maintenance?
I go back to it. I think I look at it as an opportunity. Everything you do in life is an opportunity. How you take that and people one time asked me, well, how did you become the manager of airship maintenance? And I kind of tell people it's everything's an opportunity. Whether you're sweeping the floor, whether you're working on an aircraft, or whatever you're doing in life, if you look at it as an opportunity, you own that. It becomes yours. And you'll make the most of it. If you make the most of those opportunities, you'll get more opportunities. So when I see young folks coming in and I talk to them, I'm like, you know, here's your opportunity. Come in and work hard and learn as much as you can. Work with the older mechanics. Let them teach you. Take what they have and humble yourself a little bit and pick up their knowledge and use that and grow yourself. But look at everything as an opportunity, because if you look at it as an opportunity, you'll own it and you'll do great at it, and people will see that. And bigger opportunities will come your way.
Yeah, good advice. Anything else you'd like to share with our readers? Our listeners?
Well, I mean, I just, you know, I mean, it's an honor to sit here. I've read your guys' magazine. I love your guys' magazine. I love your, you know, what you guys put out. And just to be a part of this, to be able to have the platform to speak a little bit about what we do here at Goodyear is really awesome.
Well, we thank you, because, I mean, without our readers, we wouldn't be here. So it was really a pleasure to sit down and talk to you today.
Yeah.
And we appreciate the tour.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.